coming up on a sweltering episode of The Morning Stream.
Two free tickets could be yours.
Things pick up for Arrested Development.
Walter White might know what Diet Coke is doing to your teeth.
What it takes to live with so many dead animals.
Hi, my name is Masturbate, and could you sign my yearbook?
You won't believe that story. Charlie Sheen is Carlos Estevez again.
Bieber is driving his neighbors crazy.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Once upon a time there was an engineer. Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear. He had an engine and he sure had fun. He used good and plenty candy to make his train run.
Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Charlie says, really rings the bell. Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Don't know any other candy that I love so well.
What's your pleasure?
Talent in the can, ladies and gentlemen.
I forgot that that's all that one was. I thought there was more to it. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. Good morning, everybody. It's The Morning Stream. It's me, Scott, Tim, Brian, and
yes.
It's
me singing along with the Good and Plenty theme, man. I love that song.
Good and Plenty!
It's a little on the...
It rings the bell thing.
It's really on the screaming side, though, isn't it? A little bit?
Well, especially the kid. I mean, the kid's got a voice like a trumpet.
Yeah, Good and Plenty's will put
you... Don't know any other candy that I love so well.
Yeah, he's into it. Wednesday, 8:03 a.m., Mountain Time Zone, May 29th, 2013. Can you believe... it's just hitting me lately how fast time has gone.
Oh, don't remind me.
I don't like it. I'm not thrilled with it. Yesterday, Nick says to me in the kitchen something. It doesn't matter what he said, but he said it with like a big crack in his voice. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my gosh, you are 13. He's 13.
Yeah.
Like, what is that even?
They do this.
Oh my gosh.
This is what they do.
But it's, you know what it's like? But here's how it hit me. He's my youngest. So this was what it felt like when my sister was 13. And the rest of us were 16, 18, in some cases even in their 20s. Like my brother Mark was in his 20s. I mean, my kids are 13, 16, 19. I feel old. But I don't think I'm that old. I'm not that old. You know what? Most people my age just starting to crap out these kids.
You focus so much on the actual number. You know,
I don't know why.
I mean, okay, if you want to get technical, sure, age is how long you've existed on the planet. But what defines your age, what really defines your age is how you feel, how you act, how you, you know.
Listen, Zen Master Ibbot. No, you're right.
I am Lo Shen. I'm the, whatchamacallit animal up on the mountaintop with the brewmaster monk.
Monkman McGillicuddy.
What am I?
Lore Walker Cho. Lore Walker Ibbot is who you are.
Lore Walker Cho, the bear,
is he a bear? A panda. He's a panda.
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
He's a bear.
Up there on top of the mountain.
Y'all playing that World of Warcraft with them bears you got in there? yeah, it's not. You're 100,000% right. Okay, you're totally right. But once in a while, I get hung up on the numbers because numbers used to be when I was growing up, numbers were everything. Mm-hmm. That's everybody who was over 20 was old,
sure.
And everything under that seemed young, and time took forever. And
well, you know why? You know why that is?
Why?
Because when you're young, that's when you get stuff. Is when you turn those ages, you get to drive. When you turn 16, you get your permit. When you turn 15, you get to start drinking. When you turn 21, uh-huh. You get to start voting. When you turn 21, all that stuff happened at certain ages, and so it forced you into this mindset of. Oh, okay. My age, the number of years I am defines who I am, as opposed to, you know, your inner. It does sound really zen.
It's pretty zen and cool, but that's what you do. You sit up on your hill.
That's right. I guess you do vote at 18, not 21.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad that you know, you can vote in the elections at 18, but you just can't drink to escape the reality of who got elected until you're 21.
Yeah. It all makes sense until you have an 18-year-old and you're glad they can't legally drink yet, I guess.
Right.
But here's the dealio. You're right about everything you've said. The next thing I need to stop doing is all money to me is how much a video game, how many video games that would cost. So, like, there's a guy coming over today, probably during the show, by the way. This is going to be weird. Guy's going to come replace a water heater that's about 10 feet from me this direction. And then we have two, and one of them went hooey. It's old. It's like 10 years old. So you're going to pull that thing out, put a new one in, and they're going to try to be as quiet as they can and all that, and we'll deal with it, whatever. But my point is, when I got the estimate yesterday, it was like $400 total, labor and the thing.
Right.
And my head always does this. It says, how many video games is that? And that's like eight video games.
So you're basing it on the $50 video game.
Yeah, the average standard of $49.99, correct.
$49.99.
So I can get eight games out of that deal.
You should be thinking about this in terms of Steam sales. Actually, yesterday, because of the Amazon Gold Box, I picked up Injustice, Gods Among Us, and Tomb Raider for like under, I want to say $35 each.
Oh, that's really good. Tomb Raider's amazing.
That's what I hear.
What'd you get it for? PS3. PS3, okay. You won't get the cool hair technology I have on the PC version.
Is that the PC? Yeah.
Yeah, if you max that thing out, her hair is like silky, like weird Pixar hair.
See, for some games, there's some games I want to sit on the couch or sit in the love sack and relax and play the video game as opposed to standing up. World of Warcraft, I can play standing up. Yep. Certain things I can do.
That's why you got to do this PC thing where I've got a monitor for the standing up business, and then over there the TV, and I can sit on my can and play it over there.
That's true. I could. I have an extra PC. I could just hook up. Well, it's not a good gaming PC. Never mind.
Downside is. Yeah. If you're sitting down on your butt playing a video game on your PS3, you got to wait all those long, interminable load times.
Loading, that still exist. Yes,
right. they're the worst. Anyway, so Kim's she's gonna ferry this guy down here, right, honey?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be like a weird porn plot. Like he's gonna go
$5 says he exposes some plumber butt.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. In fact, you know what? I'll Instagram it if he does.
Well, you got that webcam. Can you pivot the webcam?
Yeah, I think I could. Let's see. Can you guys see this door here? Chat room? Let's see. Yeah, see that door? That's where he's going to be. We are going to chronicle
perfect
his efforts when he gets here. All right?
Marvin Skelton says, plumber butt or sneaky nuts? Let's hope it's plumber butt.
Well, anyway, I was teasing Kim this morning. I'm like, yeah, come on in. It's down here. I don't know what happened to the hot water heater. Well, ma'am, I've seen worse problems than this. And she's all mad at me for saying that. Anyway.
I'm here to fix the heater.
Yeah.
I'm here to fix the plumbing.
All right.
Somebody order a pizza.
So anyway, that's happening. I don't know what my point with all of that was, except to say there's a contest today, and I'm really excited to announce this. I need a good contest sound. I can't think of one. How about this one?
Oh my gosh.
There you go. Those two combined. Yes. Contest starts today for free Nerdtacular tickets. Two of them, a set of two. You and your best friend, your wife, your spouse, your girlfriend, your man friend, your whatever you want to bring.
Your son, your daughter.
Relation does not matter.
We are not relations, sir.
No. Please make it go. We're going to give you N13 tickets. These are for Nerdtacular 2013. Which is the 5th and 6th of July, coming up very soon, about a month and a week or something. We have these two tickets free up, and we want to make sure they get a good home. So if you wanted tickets, you couldn't get them, couldn't afford them, whatever the reason was, they now could be yours. They are it's about $100 value for both tickets. It includes both days, so it's the whole schmear while you're there. It doesn't include flight or hotel or any of that stuff, but if you're local here or if you wanted to come and this is the only thing holding you back, you can enter to win these free tickets, and you do it this way, and it's open now. You can go to frogpants.com/contest. That's frogpants.com/contest. Enter the quick little form. It's just your name and email. We won't give those to anybody. We share them with nobody. It's secure. It uses Google Forms. We will pull a random winner in the next one, in one Earth week from today. Okay?
Okay.
And the winner will be picked, and you will be coming to Nerdtacular. So if you want free tickets, frogpants.com/contest, and I'll put this on Twitter and other places today as well. So
frogpants.com/contest.
Contest.
I didn't win. I contest.
That may happen. We'll see. All right, real quick. I caught up on, I watched two more episodes of the Arrested Development yesterday.
Okay.
4 and 5. And I
you
know
and I are pretty close in parity here because we did 1, 2, and 3 last night.
Okay. So 1, 2, and 3, I enjoy, but again, like yesterday when we talked with Justin, yes, I'm a little on the fence about, like, it's just a little weird and overwhelming and not hilarious yet or any of that.
Right.
I'm here to tell you that 4 and 5 freaking nailed it and made previous episodes better because they tie into those episodes in ways I didn't see coming and immediately made me want to go back and see those other episodes again.
Really?
Yeah. And there were multiple laugh out loud episode 4 moments.
Oh, good. Please tell me episode 4 is a Job episode then.
It's not. It's actually back to Michael, but he goes to get, he gets, this isn't a spoiler really, but he gets a job at Imagine Entertainment and actually hangs out with Ron Howard. and Ron Howard has a, I don't want to tell you that, but that part's a spoiler. Yeah. It's really funny and there's great moments in it. I'm trying to remember, there's a few guest appearances. You'll be happy to see people back. Like, it's a genuinely funny.
Okay, cool.
There were moments I was laughing out loud, and there are great references to stuff in the past, but also just great self-referential stuff to this stuff that's going on right now. Their Google stuff in there, I'll just say, is the funniest freaking Google thing I've ever seen.
Really?
Okay, cool. You'll totally laugh. And
I'm kind of bummed that I didn't watch these 1, 2, and 3 before our talk yesterday because I was totally seeing what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, but it's people were right that those. It's weird that they kind of had to get those out of the way. Not that they had to get them out of the way, but you just got to start somewhere and go. You got to hit the ground running, right? Mm-hmm. And 4 and 5 totally paid off a bunch of stuff from those first 3 episodes, and it just seems to be getting funnier. And 5, which is a Tobias episode, is a riot.
I'm sure it is. Yes, his Method 1, Method 1 clinic.
It's really good. The Method 1 clinic is great, and that comedian chick he's hanging out with is so funny. I can't remember her name, but she does a lot of weird voices. She's really funny.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a fantastic 4 reference in there that's going to have you on the floor. Like, there's just a bunch of really good stuff coming up, and so I'm really happy again. But I have a theory about why 4 and 5 feel so good to me, and I call it the Diablo 3 theory. And here's how the connection works with that. All right, I don't want to freak everybody out, but it's called the Diablo 3 theory. Brian, you're familiar with Diablo 3? Point, click, kill dudes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
loot, fat loot. P-H-A-T loot, right?
Yes.
Well, that game, when it came out with such anticipation, 12 years since the last Diablo game. Then you couldn't have asked for a more high expectation and hype machine than you got with Diablo. Because it had such a legacy and people were so fond of it. And it comes out and real money auction house and connectivity and DRM and on all the time stuff sullied the day for many players, right? Many players are like, this is how I remember Diablo. This isn't it. This isn't how you play. And they were, that overwhelmed them. So the weaknesses of a relaunch overwhelmed them and they were unable to enjoy it on its own terms until let a little time pass, get away from the hype machine a little bit, get out from underneath that umbrella, and boom! Wonderful video game awaits you. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And you get totally sucked in and you're not thinking about all that hype and crap. And you're not listening to what the internet has to say. You're just playing it. And to me, 4 and 5 are us as me and my family going, okay, we're in. We're good. We're not listening to the hype machine anymore.
Yeah. A little turbulence at the beginning of the flight, but now we're above the clouds. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. It's well said. So,
you know what I'm noticing, and it's funny that neither you nor Justin Robert Young brought this up yesterday, is that it seems like the background music is set really high sometimes. Like it's
the sound mixing. Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday. It's a weird,
talk about that?
Just a tiny bit, but it's all. But there is, and it's more in that the George Senior.
Yeah.
Episode.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly where I noticed it, too.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened there. That seemed like
the
just
sound
some
mixing was off. Yeah. The green screen was off, as you guys talked about with the steam.
What's that called? Sweat Lodge.
Sweat Lodge.
Yeah. I mean, there was some funny stuff in there, but that episode had some weird, uncanny valley problems. It was hard to get my head around.
But I think you're totally off base with Portia de Rossi. I think she, and maybe it's because we've seen Better Off Ted so recently. Mm. Tina and I have. We watched the whole series, you know.
Yeah, but she didn't have any of that face stuff done yet.
I think she looks just the same as she did.
Really? I'm shocked by
that. I need to see a side-by-side photo because she didn't look that different.
Oh, she looks so different to all of us. We're like, that is not, this never looks like her. And even in these new ones, I'm like, oh, still, it's throwing us off.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I got to find some side-by-side.
And I watched a lot of Better Off Ted. So I could be smoking crack, but it seems to me that she's completely just a different face. That nose is not her freaking nose.
Really?
It's a different person's nose. She's fine. As an actress, she's great. She's getting the part right and all that, but I just feel like there's a stand-in with her doing voiceover. It's weirding me out. Anyway, point being, what was my point? one of my favorite, but here's the thing I want to mention about the George Sr. episode.
Yeah.
Had Chloe from 24 in it.
Oh, yes.
And I always found her weirdly hot.
I know. Well, you know, there is I'd like to see a side-by-side photo of her and Veronica Belmont because I think they share a couple of the same traits. I think Veronica is way, way, way cuter, obviously. Yeah. But
well said.
Marilyn Rashgub.
How do you say that? How do you spell her name?
Man of Irony says it's Rashgub.
Rashgub?
Yeah, Marilyn Rashgub. Anyway, I think that there's a couple of similar traits that the two of them share, and I'd like to see a side-by-side photo of the two of them.
I tried to look it up, and it tried to say, and Google said, did you mean Marilyn Rice Cup? That's what I meant.
Two girls, one Marilyn Rice Cup.
There she is. She's I know she does a lot of stand-up and other comedy stuff before she did 24, but she'll just always sort of be Chloe to me.
Oh, see, I go all the way back to Larry Sanders' show.
Mm. And what was her name in this? It was like
it was like Star
Mountain Hugging something. <Right. Yes. laughs> it's a great little part for her. Anyway, I quite like her. All right. Yeah. The point is, it's picking up. You'll like it. I'm excited for you to get to the next two so you can tell me what you think. Brian, do you drink diet soda?
I do. Well, I drink the tens. You know, there's the Dr. Pepper 10 and the I'm really, really liking Ginger Ale 10 or Canada Dry 10.
Well, here's what you need to know about diet soda. All right. This is true across the board. Diet Coke, diet anything. All those diet drinks with the fake sugary things in them. Diet soda's effect on your teeth, Brian Ibbett's teeth, terrifyingly similar to effects of meth and crack cocaine.
Really? Oh, no.
So look at this. It can have the very same effect on your teeth or your tooth enamel as methamphetamine or crack cocaine use, and it's not pretty. In a three-person case study, only three people? Well, anyway.
Is that a three-person study?
I guess so. Published in March and April 2013 issue of the Journal of General Dentistry, Dr. Mohamed Bassouni studied the teeth of a diet soda drinker and two drug addicts and found similar dental erosion among all three. You look at it side by side with meth mouth or coke mouth, and it is startling to see the intensity and extent of damage more or less the same, says this professor of restorative dentistry at the Temple's University Kornberg School of Dentistry. Kornberg. Yeah, he told this to Health Today. So the study's been flying all over the place, and they show these three mouths, and it's kind of not... It's bad. And now it's somebody who drinks a lot of, you know, it's drinking diet soda every day. I don't do that. I don't drink anything every day, except water, maybe. But yeah, watch out, everybody. Quit drinking your diet sodas. Bad news. All right? Bad news. All right. Last night, I saw a photo. Brian put a photo on Facebook, all right, like yesterday. And it was a giant pizza, and it looked really good to me, and I wanted some of it. But I knew I couldn't because this was the internet and there's no way to taste or smell things over the internet.
Homemade pizza right down to the sauce, like diced tomatoes pureed and then cooked up with some olive oil reduced down to a pizza sauce, homemade dough, all that stuff. So I made it was
you made it? Did you do it?
I made it personally, yeah.
I didn't know you knew how to do that.
Pineapple and tomato pizza with you know, you do your mozzarella, but then you do another layer of Parmesan on top, and then you sprinkle on some Italian essence herb thing. There's like a mix of Italian essence herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Bake that son bitch, and the thing is great. Anyway, so
this is for your inaugural pizza movie night, though.
That's right. Yeah. So every Tuesday, Tristan, Tina, and I are going to sit down. We're going to watch a movie that one of those movies that Tristan has to see. I'm not saying we're going to do the, you know, AFI 100.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like you know, the movies that we feel like he needs to experience.
Oh, okay.
And the first one was The Sixth Sense, and I think I told you that when I told him we were going to be watching The Sixth Sense, he's like, "Oh, I know. Bruce Willis dies at the end. I already know the ending."
Right.
Well, so suffice it to say, his mind was blown.
Awesome. I love that he thought, because that actually helped your case. You know, he went in thinking he dies at the end. That actually helps with the whole surprise.
Right, exactly. Because he's sitting there waiting. All right, when's he going to die? I know he's going to die pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And it was a great moment to watch him wrap his mind around it. But you know what? That movie totally holds up. It's what? It's 15 years later?
Was it 99 or 2000? Something like that?
Yeah, right around there. Mm-hmm. And here, this 15 years later, that movie totally holds up.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot, and I agree with you. It totally does.
And I don't think, and of course, you know, people say that M. Night Shyamalan has not done anything as good since. Unbreakable is great, but, you know, was it as good as
Unbreakable?
But I would also say that Haley Joel Osment hasn't done anything as good as this since.
Well, now he's like kind of a fat 30-something or something like that. He looks really weird now. If you look up some pictures of him, he doesn't look like – he's not a kid. No one's lining up to hire that kid to be in their movie.
Oh, that's too bad. I mean, yeah, it's like no kidding. You know, he's looking like oh, my God, it's like his head – His facial features stayed the same size,
yep.
But his head kind of grew around him.
Yep, you're totally right. You're totally right.
Here's a great shot of him right here for the tadpole.
Let's see. I'm looking at some. Oh, that's interesting. Listen to so Shyamalan's movies. Shama Ding Dong, right?
Sure.
92, Praying with Anger. 98, Wide Awake. 99, The Sixth Sense. All right, that's when things started kicking off.
Right.
2000, Unbreakable. 2002, Signs. Mm-hmm. Unbreakable is still one of my favorite movies ever made.
Yeah.
The Village, 2004. Didn't see it. Okay. Still haven't. Yeah. Lady in the Water, 06. Still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
The Happening. Still haven't seen it. 2008. I kind of have avoided the crap. 2010.
You haven't seen The Happening either.
No.
Oh, say hello to your mother for me.
That's some Marky Mark, The Plants Are Alive kind of thing going on there.
That's him working with the other Wahlberg.
That's right. Him and Donnie hanging out.
Yeah.
Let's see. Last Airbender in 2010. Didn't see it. After Earth comes out this Saturday. That's got your Will Smith and your...
That's right. And it is funny how they're not talking about him being the director. Yeah,
they're not saying a thing. Nowhere, anywhere, articles, nothing. It's really weird that they're just avoiding it.
Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it'll help kind of quell the, there's going to be a twist. It's M. Night Shyamalan. Let's predict what the twist is going to be at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
well, it also helps people, you know, go in and not say, well, this is going to be crap.
Yeah, good point. He is developing up next for him. He's developing a TV series called Wayward Pines, set to start next year. I assume it's in pre-production now. It stars Matt Dillon. That's the only dude we have in here so far. That actually excites me a little bit. I like Matt Dillon, especially older Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
And it is, here's the tagline. A Secret Service agent goes to Wayward Pines, Idaho. Oh, it's in Idaho. Sorry. In search of two federal agents who have gone missing in the bucolic town. Bucolic. Is that a word?
Bucolic, isn't it?
Sure. I don't know. Bucolic. How about that?
Bucolic.
Bucolic. He soon learns that he may never get out of Wayward Pines alive. All right. Ooh. Sounds like a little twisty, supernatural kind of business. So I'm all in. All right. Anyway, well, that's good. Congratulations on your movie. That sounds like a lot of fun, actually. And
yeah. And I'm trying to decide. There's two. I want him to see Psycho, and I want him to see Rear Window, because I think those are the. What's that?
You want the old ones, though, right? You don't want the new
Psycho. Oh, no, not the Gus Van Sant or the right. No, I want him to see. I want him to see Anthony Perkins and Jimmy Stewart in their original Alfred Hitchcock glory.
Yep.
And I'm trying to decide. I'm trying to decide because he's got this thing about, oh, if it's a movie older than me, then it probably sucks. You know, anything that comes before 97, he thinks is going
to
be horrible.
To his credit, I used to think the same exact thing.
And you know what? You know what does that to him, by the way? It's all our fault. It's freaking FilmSack.
Yeah.
Because he'll come up and I'll be watching something on FilmSack and it's like, oh, when did this come out?
Yeah, he thinks everything is like that. That's true. 3 years of that, that's formative years for him. So he's seen nothing but garbage come out of Netflix for 3 years.
Right, exactly.
I don't blame him.
So I think I'm going to start him with Rear Window, and then we'll go back to Psycho.
Has he seen Breakfast Club?
He's seen Breakfast Club. He's seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Right. He's seen all the Star Wars, all the Indiana Jones.
Okay, so all the things that we would consider childhood classics of our own.
Right, the things that he... Right, exactly. I mean, I think those he had to see. All the Back to the Future, yep. See people asking. All the Aliens. We actually sat down when Tina was on a trip to Seattle. We sat down and we watched all four Aliens like over the course of four nights.
Oh, wow. And fourth one, too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like the fourth one. I know a lot of people don't, but I think the fourth one's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Has its
moments. They're all so different movies.
Yeah.
Godfather, I don't know if he could handle yet. Not because of the blood or guts, but there's a lot of stuff to keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
May
not be your average 16-year-old may not get out of that what you'd want them to get out of.
Right. And we were thinking, all right, Pulp Fiction might be the upper end of the spectrum for him. I mean, he's 16. He's, you know,
If he's going to see Pulp Fiction, he's going to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you're 16.
So maybe we'll wait until the end, but,
that's cool. I love this idea.
Yeah.
Go through all the classics. You know, expand his mind a little bit, get some stuff that he thinks is too old for him, but you know.
Exactly. I think the next one we're talking about is Forrest Gump, because he hasn't seen Forrest Gump, and I think that's, you know, it's, we'll see if it holds up, because
I know what love is, Jenny. and Lieutenant Dan and all that. Yeah,
right, exactly. it's a history lesson.
Yeah, the movie that stole the Oscar from Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, right. Yeah, no kidding.
And make sure he watches Shawshank Redemption.
That one he's seen, and he counts it as one of his favorite movies. He right now, because of that movie, is a huge Morgan Freeman fan. Like anything Morgan Freeman, he's into. So.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes.
Bad Morgan Freeman voice.
I didn't realize that's what it was.
Yeah.
Rain Man. Rain Man definitely.
Yeah, Rain Man's got to be in there. That's so good. We did that with the girls. I had to make them watch that. Now you're making me want to do this. I think we're going to come up with something like this.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
I think it's a good idea. You're going to make food every time like that? You're going to go nuts?
We're doing a pizza every time.
Oh, wow.
And we're rotating around, you know, between the three of us as to who gets to do the toppings. So I did the first one with a barbecue chicken, cilantro,
horse
red
vomit.
Onion thing mm-hmm. last week.
Right. No horse vomit? Okay.
No horse vomit.
That's a local thing then, I guess.
I think it must be just Utah. Yeah. And Tina did the tomato and pineapple last night, and Tristan gets to choose next week.
Nice. I think that's awesome. What a fun little family thing.
Yeah.
Impressed. Thanks. Look at us parenting, everyone.
I know.
And getting something out of it ourselves. It kind of works for everybody because we like movies. All right. It's time to stump a Trek nerd.
All right.
His phone number here? Yeah. Sure do. Let's see, we got to play his little theme. Ladies and gentlemen, Stump a Trek Nerd is upon us and is brought to you by
L Pets. It's a mobile pet monster catching and battle game that we'll be releasing soon, and with your help, we can meet our deadline. Find us on Kickstarter at tinyurl.com/lpets, ELPETZ, or search for L Pets, ELPETZ, by Dark Sprite Studios.
Very nice. Sounds like fun to me. I like a good Pokemon-like
little monster
game.
Catching. Yeah, exactly.
I've been playing that in WoW a lot now.
The pet battles?
Yeah, it's more fun than it should be, and it's sucking me in bad.
I can't say that I've done any pet battles this year.
it would hook you in. I believe it would. It would make you feel... Here's why they need to make that a mobile game, because when you're doing it, you realize, ooh, this is really good. But then you realize, well, if I'm going to spend time in front of a computer playing World of Warcraft, I need to be working on the stuff that helps the raid team, or I need to be whatever. And you feel bad, even though you know that's really fun to do, so they need to make that mobile, put it on a freaking tablet, and let me play it already.
Oh, make that happen. Yeah. I would absolutely do some pet battles if I could do it on the iPad.
It's quite good. I
no question about it.
Daryl, good morning.
Good morning.
What's going
on? My morning's off to a weird start.
Why is that? What happened? What's going on?
Well, my earbuds are like socks. They just keep disappearing. And so yesterday, I told my son, if you go look for my earbuds and you find a pair, I'll buy you some ice cream.
Oh, wow.
So he found some earbuds.
Yeah.
So anyway,
today I'm gonna buy him ice cream.
You were thinking he wasn't going to be able to be successful? Is that what you're kind of
thinking?
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I
found another pair. So now I have two sets of earbuds. But then I forgot my phone today.
Oops.
So now I can't listen to the show.
Oh, you haven't heard any of what we said about you earlier, then?
Nothing at all.
Oh, we talked about your weird gait, the way you walk. We talked about that strange little Filipino houseboy you keep in the closet, like all that stuff. but you missed out big time. All right, well, Daryl, I almost sent you a pair too. I'm glad I held off because I read your thing on Twitter. And I thought I've got extra earbuds. I'll send Daryl a pair of these earbuds, and then it sounds like you have more than you know what to do with now.
Yeah. So since I couldn't hear when the phone was going to ring, I went into the chat room or tadpool.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Sure, chat
and
room.
I connected up with Cheesy G, and she's saying, "Oh, it's almost time. I think they're going to call you."
Oh,
you know, okay,
that was
now.
Nice of her to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
So at least I knew when the phone was going to ring.
Well, good. So you are. This is completely. Look at this, everyone. He's coming in here raw and fresh. He has no idea what this question is. There's no preparation. There's no psych out. It's just Daryl doing it live. All right. He's the Bill O'Reilly of TMS this morning. Here we go. Daryl, here's your question. It is a Next Generation Star Trek question, and it goes like this. In the episode The Royale, remember that? Casino in space. The Riker, Data, and Worf are trapped in a recreation of a hotel/casino. At one point, they split up and try to learn about their surroundings. Data plays several casino games in the episode. What game does Data try to play first in the episode? So he plays this game first. Or as Iceworm wrote, what jat game does Data try to play first? Was it A, roulette, B, slots, C, blackjack, or D, craps? Craps. Is D.
Heartache.
Yeah. Brian knows all these terms. I don't
New
know.
New shooter coming out.
I don't know what any of this stuff is.
I don't either.
Come on now.
I never gamble.
You know what they are, though.
I know what
you know
craps
what roulette is.
I know what craps, roulette, slots, and blackjack are. I don't know any of the sublingo like you were just spouting out there.
That's all right.
Like, I know when you're playing blackjack, you can say hit me and they'll give you more cards.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go over 21, you're screwed.
So are you saying you've never even played like a iOS version of blackjack or
I played blackjack with my friends growing up. We played a lot of poker, but never played craps, and never once have I done anything with a roulette wheel in my life, except for I had a what's that show called with Pat Sajak?
Wheel of Fortune.
I played that in a video game once, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's not roulette, that's a Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, that's right, because it's like right.
They have a Wheel of Fortune at the
And I always like the one on what's the one on the show with I can't think, where he's always spay or neuter your pet.
Well, The Price is Right.
I can only I'm only remembering sub things of the other thing. I can't remember. Anyway, so the big thing that would come up and grab it and pull
it
down.
The showcase wheel or whatever they call it.
I used to be fascinated by that thing, and I used to be obsessed with the little rubber dealy that would flip and not know it.
Yeah,
I love that for some reason. I was really into that growing up. All right. What's his name? Drew Carey still hosting that?
As far as I know.
That's still a thing to be on TV? All right.
So?
Why not? Come on down. All right, Daryl, sorry. While you consider that, we don't have anything to eat because I think we're in between foods, right?
Yes. We have nothing right now.
Yeah, nobody has sent us anything new.
Please send us something.
I'll check. I haven't checked the email in a while, scoured it for people offering, so I'll make sure to do that.
Okay.
But but Daryl's probably got birthdays to celebrate.
Yes.
What do you got, man?
Yeah, I do. I have Kevin Conway. He's 71 today. He played the clone of Kalis the Unforgettable, the Klingon, on the TNG 6th season Rightful Heir.
Hmm. Oh, I'm trying to remember.
Kevin Conway.
Kevin Conway. No, it's not who I'm thinking of. Never mind.
I'm looking at pictures of him right now.
I can't think of what that is.
Well, there he is as a Klingon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like the Klingons. I'm a fan. I know Brian's not a fan. Doesn't like the Klingon episodes, do you? Wasn't that you?
I'm not nuts about them. Yeah.
What do you think of the new ones from the movie? What do you think of that new look?
Oh, I like it. Mm-hmm. I like the Klingons as a race.
Yeah.
I just think that in some cases, in some episodes, they can be portrayed very two-dimensionally, like there's honor and there's nothing else. And I think that there should be multifaceted, there should be multi-layers to their, you know.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
That's absolutely true, but here's my weird imagination. As you spoke, I swapped out the word Klingon for black people, and I swapped out the words Star Trek for Samford and Son. Is that weird? Is that a little bit weird?
What'd you swap out for the word honor?
I was thinking, I always do this with Star Trek when they talk about race relation-y things on Star Trek. Like DS9 is deep into this Bajoran stuff right now. Uh-huh. And I always think, what would we talk about as Earthlings in our race relations right now? And for whatever reason, black people and the Sanford and Son were the two that I came up with there. Anyway.
There's nothing racist about what I said. Hey, some of my best friends are Klingon.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. Nothing racist at all. But it would be that kind of question. Like, I don't have anything against Klingons per se. If you just start swapping those words around. You see what I mean? Just me being an idiot. All right. What are we doing?
I think they're honor and what grandma did with somebody last Tuesday or whatever their dumb stories are, their honor and all that. I don't care about any of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it as an overall theme, but I like it to get more complex than, Worf's got a kid who drives everyone nuts. Or,
you dishonored me. Now we must battle.
Yeah. Right. It'd be nice if they got a little more. You know what? Okay, here's what they need to do to a Klingon on a TV show.
Okay.
Do what you did with the Ferengis and Quark, because up till Quark, Ferengis were this two-dimensional.
Yeah, they were same suffered from the same problem.
Yeah, the money grubbing little turds, but they were like two notes, and that's all you ever got from those guys. Quark comes in and adds just layers of complexity with his character to that race, the way they think, the way they interact. He's really good. Like this rewatching of DS9 is reminding me of one facet of that show, which is Shimmerman. Is amazing in there. He's really good. And it makes that character so much more than just a money-grubbing little Ferengi bartender. So I wish they did. Yeah, if they did that with Klingons, that'd be great. And the movie didn't really help. In the movie, they're just, and they're, commandoing. Yeah. The commandoing out of the Birds of Prey was kind of cool. I kind of thought that was pretty neat, but whatever. Anyway, we're way off the beaten path. Daryl. Oh, happy birthday to that guy. back to your question. Which of these casino games did they play? Was it roulette? Was it slots? Was it blackjack? Or was it craps?
Well, I need one of these to figure out what the answer is. I need to put these on a roulette wheel and spin it, or pull a slot arm, or jack black, or whatever.
Oh, it
crap.
Doors not open wide enough to see any.
Sorry, I mean, Brian just noticed what I did. So the camera is now aimed toward where the work on the hot water heater is happening. I'll keep you informed. There's Kim on camera who just hit me.
Kim hears you.
Will. What? We're filming. Okay, so anyway, here we go. Enjoy, everyone, the view of the thing, the stuff. All right.
Can you open the door a little wider?
Yeah, I'm going to try. There's a sword in the way, which I know sounds.
There's
crazy.
A sword in the way.
That's right.
Nerd.
Just keep your eye. Hey, honey. There's a sword right there. Can you move that sword? I just popped that door open a little bit. All right.
That's probably just the right width to cover what you don't want to see.
Right, exactly. All right. Thanks, babe. Okay. Now you got to do this part. All right. Anyway, so back to the point. What was the point? Oh, yeah. Roulette, slots, blackjack, craps. You didn't say it.
Oh, did I? What did I say?
You didn't say anything yet, I don't think.
You were just talking about putting it all on your roulette wheel and giving it a spin.
Yeah.
You could just as easily spin it in a slots machine or roll it with the dice or flip it on a card. Or.
Yeah. All I have is Henry, but I don't like to use him anymore.
Oh, really? Why not?
Yeah, the casino game Heads or Tails just really hasn't taken off.
Yeah.
That only worked in, what was
Vegas
that?
Vegas Vacation.
Yeah, Vegas yeah. Vacation. Best part of that movie.
What number am I thinking of?
There were two good things in that movie, that and Papa Giorgio. I thought was really funny, that whole stuff with the sun. Yeah. But other than that.
The whole Wayne Newton thing was horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Yeah, Wallace Shawn was great.
Yeah.
How about I just take you in the back and kick you as hard as I can?
Speaking of Ferengis, he was the Grand Nagus in Deep Space Nine, if you may recall. Yeah. Maybe even TNG, I don't remember. Wallace Shawn. Anyway, sorry. Back to the point. What were we doing now? What are we saying? Oh, yeah, Daryl. No, roulette.
A whole lot of time.
That's all right. Roulette, slots, blackjack, craps.
Oh, let's see. What's the thing when they throw the dice in this, that big table and there's things and chips and whatever?
Dom Jot?
That would be craps.
Oh, I thought I was describing an actual Star Trek game. Yeah, that would be craps.
Yeah, because Data has
isn't there a craps game where you throw dice?
Called craps. Called crap something? It's funny because Daryl seems to know less about these games than me, even. So there you go.
Oh, I don't. I know nothing. Mm. Why do they call it crap? Or do I want to know?
Yeah, tell us, Brian.
Because the bad rules. It's one of those rare cases where the game talks about what you don't want. That and Pai Gow are like the two casino games where the name of the game is what you want to avoid, as opposed to, hey, I want blackjack. I want, you know, whatever. Wheel of Fortune. I want fortune. But craps is rolling on a come out roll. It's rolling 2, 3, or 12, and you lose your bet.
Oh, okay.
You lose your pass line bet. Some people don't bet the pass line. Some people bet other things.
Oh my gosh! See, look at the complexity. It's freaking me
this
out.
This game. Well, it's a game where you basically say, you know, you've got all of these options on each roll of the dice. You say, I think it's going to be a 7. I think it's not going to be a 7. I think it's going to be any of these numbers, and you can have a range of numbers.
How in favor of the house are the odds? Probably pretty heavy.
If you play right, craps has the lowest house advantage of any game in the casino, unless, well, it's on par with blackjack if you go to a casino that has surrender rules, which allows you, like, if the dealer's showing an ace, you can surrender. At any time, you can surrender your cards and get half your bet back in blackjack.
Okay. Well,
but if the casino doesn't offer that, then craps has the lowest house edge.
I feel like I've learned something today. Daryl, now let's learn how right you are. I think you still haven't said which one, have you?
I'll say craps, I guess.
Craps, because this is fun to say, right?
Yeah. I guess.
All right, well, let's find out. Is it craps?
Nah.
Nope, not craps. blackjack is the correct answer.
My second choice was wrong.
Yeah, you're way wrong today. He is offered a seat at the blackjack table by a character who goes by the name of Texas. He plays a few hands of the game. Here is a clip of Data interacting with said Texas. So here you go. Right here, coming up.
Take this creature, for example. It does not exhibit any DNA structure.
Excuse me, son. Look who's talking. And you sound just like my ex-wife. All right. Time to get down to business.
What sort of business do you suppose he is getting down to?
Yeah, what sort of business? All right. Good times. Sorry, I took a mouthful of something while I thought it was going to go longer than it is. Daryl, way to go. You've blown it. I think that puts you at, you didn't do Monday, so you're one for two. There you go. I know math. I'm good at it.
Okay.
Tomorrow you have another chance to do it again. Finish out the week on a strong point. I hope you find your phone, and I hope your earbuds never get lost again. He's also the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. And that thing about the houseboy in the closet is not true. Daryl, give us a quote so we can try to get it wrong.
But why should I object to that term, sir? You see, in our century, we've learned not to fear words.
Oh, in our century.
Hmm. Scotty?
Okay. That's actually pretty good. That might be it. I don't know. This is hard.
Yeah.
It's got to be some time travel-y business. So I'm going to go with...
I'm going to give you a hint. It's not from a movie.
Okay. TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say Spock because I have no idea.
It was Uhura from the Lincoln episode.
Oh, it was, man. Uhura. I was thinking that, wow.
Is
okay.
That's where she shot Hitler. Don't forget. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by The Final Score, the video game podcast for the rest of us, where Nicole, Brian, and Scott talk about the games of today, tomorrow, and yesterday, but not necessarily in that order. Subscribe at finalscoreshow.com today.
Yep. I talked a bunch about the Xbox One last week. I'm going to learn about our feelings there and the games we've been playing. A woman allegedly lived with 80 dead animals in South Carolina for who knows how long.
Oh
yeah, this is a hoarder's episode. You'd have to cut. From
so
TV.
She's a taxidermist. Yeah. So what?
So what? That'd be funny if that's all this was. You guys, right? We need more articles. deputies coming to evict a family from their Lauren, South Carolina home. I have to ask Brian about this. Brian Dunaway lives there. Say they discovered the property was littered with the bodies of more than 80 dead animals. Rebecca Keith, age 58, and her daughters Amanda, age 33, Sarah, age 31. Were arrested and charged Thursday with ill treatment of animals and failure to bury animals properly, says the WSPA. That's a station, I suppose. Quote, my nightmares have nightmares about what we saw, says Jason English, owner
of
the property.
Even my goose pimples have goose pimples.
They sure do. It just never, it's meta.
he's playing right into the Huffington Post's fingers, isn't
he? Is.
Like, probably, oh, who are you with? Huffington Post? Okay. My nightmares have nightmares about what we saw. How's that? Is that good?
Stupid. it was all sorts of animals, says Lieutenant Judy Stiles of the Lawrence County Sheriff's Office. Dogs, cats, birds, and even a baby deer.
Nice.
Ryan, a baby deer?
Beer deer?
Beer deer?
Beer deer?
Let's see. Amanda Keith told the station she kept animals in the outdoor freezer. Every time we moved, this is a quotation. This is one of the ladies there, right? Wait, let me make sure.
Amanda Keith is the 33-year-old, yeah.
That's right, the 33-year-old daughter. Every time we moved, we thought we'd stay and we could bury them, and certain ones we thought we would cremate. It's like one thing led to another and we never could. That is the lousiest sounding excuse I've ever heard.
Well, let's just let that dead animal stay there because we might be moving soon and maybe we'll have more room to bury it in the new place.
That's ridiculous. That's seriously the dumbest thing I've ever read.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, just don't do that. Don't have a bunch of, you know, there's probably some psychology going on here and like the whole hoarder thing in general. I don't understand it. Like, I think I'm a digital hoarder, but I don't think I'm a physical hoarder. Well, you've been here. We don't pile stuff up.
Not at all.
Even this camera looking at this stuff in there.
I know. Well, it's you got your sword and your Yoshi, and I don't know, you're kind of a video game memorabilia hoarder.
Yes, but
now, I would watch that. Oh, they need to have nerd hoarders.
Oh, that'd be great.
I would watch that. Yeah. I would be like, oh, look at that. He's got like every Atari game ever made. Or
coming to Frog Pants in 2014, nerd hoarders. And since we have no budget.
We'll do it ourselves.
Yeah, since I have no budget, it'll be me and like my friends. That's it.
No. We'll get a good sponsor. We'll get You know, we'll get somebody and we'll go on site to these people's houses and instead of being like, you know, you really need to do something about that, we're gonna be like, oh, check this out. You've got one of these? Oh, cool. And then we'll just leave.
It'll be people with like pogs. And old video, like they've got three Genesises.
He's back in Pog form.
Yeah, it's like how many NESs do you need? Well, I had one break. My friend gave me this one.
People are saying that that's pretty much the Toy Hunter is basically.
Oh, that's true. That is kind of what his show is. I've seen that once or twice.
Yeah. By the way, there's a toy store that just opened up, like collectibles.
Yeah.
A store that just opened up a couple miles away from the house, which is great.
Oh, you're probably loving that.
I sold him boxes of HeroClix, and he's turning around and selling them himself, which is great. Obviously, it's what you want to do.
Yeah, that's right.
But he and I started talking about Jordan Embro, the toy hunter, and he says, "Oh, well, yeah, I met the guy. He's a really, really nice guy, but boy, that show is so fake and set up that you know it takes reality show set up to a whole new level."
All those shows, I don't believe any of them anymore.
Yeah,
I'm done. Especially any of that. Anything that's like, oh, let's go to this pawn place and sell our thing. They're never right. They're never
right.
True.
Right.
They handpick everybody. They fake people and bring them in there with something. The only one worse I've heard is more egregious is the Storage Wars shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Probably
they plant
stuff
all the time.
Oh, jeez.
All the time. And then they make up characters like, he's the big boisterous one, and he's the one always trying to screw people. And
right.
They're probably nothing like that in real life. All right. Moving on. I hope that lady can move on. That's a lot of dead animals.
Yes, it is.
80, dude.
That's gross.
80. High school student arrested for allegedly changing teen's name to Masturbate in the yearbook.
Oh, man.
Yeah, check this out. Went, oh, did you see the plumber?
No.
He just walked out.
Okay. I'm going to watch the camera now because there's the delay.
He had his wiener out.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Just kidding. That part's
gonna
not true.
He's going to go lay some pipe.
Yep. When officials at Hickman High School in Columbia, Missouri discovered that one of the yearbook staffers had changed the student's name to Masturbate, they got a little touchy. Oh.
Huffpo.
Now the student accused of causing the flap. Oh, jeez. Is facing criminal charges. Catlin,
jokes just keep on coming.
Catlin Booth, age 17, was arrested May 14th on suspicion of first-degree property damage, a felony, and harassment after allegedly changing the last name of fellow student Reagan Mastane to Reagan Masturbate.
Oh, jeez.
In the Hickman Crescent, the school's yearbook. It's called the Hickman Crescent?
I guess so.
Go change that.
Weird. Yeah.
How about you change that to Masturbate? The school's yearbook, the Associated Press reported. No charge has been filed as of Tuesday afternoon, but Assistant Boone County Prosecutor Spencer Bartlett, heir to the Jed Bartlett presidential fortune, said that the case remains under review. There's your West Wing reference for the day. Right. Booth's prank affected some 720 yearbooks. 720. That's like that video game. Skate or die. and reprinting them would have cost $41,000. Instead, the yearbook staff fixed Mastane's name for the online version and spent 12 hours placing stickers over Mastane's name, according to Gawker. At that point, don't they know who they're dealing with here? They're what a bunch of kids. Putting a black piece of tape over their name in a bunch of books isn't going to change the fact that everybody knows what's under that tape or that they just take the tape off.
Sure. Well, I'm sure it's like there's stickers that probably has the real name on there. So it's.
All right. Well, here's her quote. Here's how she's feeling. The Mastane girl.
Mm-hmm.
She says, Mastane says she wasn't happy about the prank, but wasn't devastated either. Unquote. I was kind of annoyed. It was stupid, but I wasn't that upset. She told the Columbia Daily Tribune, adding that she was surprised Booth was arrested for this. It is kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. I mean, it's sad because it is another form of bullying, basically.
If I was 16, I think this was really funny.
But it's funny. This is just coming up. Like, this seems to be, there's an epidemic of this, or I don't know if there's an epidemic of two instances, at least two report instances. Because in Atlanta earlier this month, there was the same situation when they replaced a kid's name with the word freak. Or no, I guess they, they put under what groups they were part of and what things they, honor roll or drama club or whatever. Well, under this kid's name, they just put the word freak.
So douchey, dude.
It really is. And it is. I mean, it is bullying.
Kind of. Yeah.
In this case, though, they sent the yearbooks all were distributed.
Yep.
And then they had to give out stickers and they basically had to hope that the kids would go in and sticker up
their own books.
Their yearbooks. But, you're relying on a bunch of kids, many of which probably are think it's funny and are going to leave it like that.
Yeah, who would ever do that? If you gave me, even if I thought it was mean and didn't like it, I'm not bothering to go into the book and paste something in there.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I care? Mm-hmm. I'm too busy thinking, I'm out of school, let's go, woo!
Yeah.
Like my kids are doing this week. They're so excited. They can barely stand it.
So, teachers, proofread the effing yearbooks.
Yeah, what's going
that's
on?
That's what your job is as the yearbook.
That's who I'd be mad at. These kids, of course, they always do dumb things. That's the point. Yeah. You're there to hone them into immature individuals,
exactly.
Not just sort of let it all fly and go, it was them. I mean, it's not cool, but your job is to step in and go, all right, I proofread this and I found the word freak and masturbate in here. Let's change that.
Right. Exactly.
Freak masturbate. All right, Tweaked Audio. Speaking of Freaked Audio, tweakedaudio.com, sponsoring the show. Look, you're sitting around, you're going, my headphone sure lacks style. Well, go choose from five styles at Tweaked Audio. You're like, well, I'd like the wood kind. the tweaked natural wood color. Can I get that? Yes, they'd say to you. Yes, you can. They're engineered for durability, noise reduction, and compatible with all your business. Lifetime warranty on everything. Use Stream at checkout for 33% off and do it today. Alrighty.
Okay.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
Win two tickets to Nerdtacular 2013. Enter the random drawing at frogpants.com/contest. Many will enter, but only one will win two tickets.
One will win two tickets. Does that make sense? It does.
Yes.
We're not giving away two tickets to two people. We're giving away two tickets, a set of two tickets to one winner.
I think it's perfectly clear.
Okay. I don't have to clarify that?
No, I think it's just fine, Scott.
I feel like I need to clarify the clarification. Charlie Sheen will be billed by his birth name, Carlos Estevez, in Robert Rodriguez's upcoming Machete Kills.
It's time for a rebranding of Charlie Sheen, folks.
Yeah. It's happening. It seems that he suddenly remembered that part of his... this is a great line. This is all from What Would Tyler Durden Do? So it's going to be snarky. So it seems he was suddenly remembered that part of his tiger/wizard/dragon blood is Latino. His dad, Martin Sheen, changed his own name from Ramon Antonio Geraldo Estevez when he started out, back when Hollywood didn't like the brown people, unless they wore sombreros and were shot by John Wayne. His other son, Emilio, proudly kept the family name and didn't keep him from starring in such classics as Mighty Ducks and Mighty Ducks 2. Anyway, there you go.
You know, I like how Tyler, what would TylerDurdenDo.com wears its snark proudly on its sleeve. They don't try to disguise it as respectable journalism like HuffPost sometimes tries to do.
Ever. And it's always entertaining to read.
It really is.
A little blue sometimes, but it's fun.
Yes.
Go check it out.
It's and you'll get like, you know, of the 12 articles you get a day, 7 will be so-and-so in a bikini, so-and-so in a bikini, so-and-so in a bikini.
There is a lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. Justin Bieber is a Segway riding, pot smoking nightmare of a neighbor. Allegedly, this is what his neighbors are saying. Justin Bieber has been in the spotlight a lot lately for being kind of a douchebag. Is a hell on wheels and not just in his Ferrari. Neighbors tell us that this is TMZ saying this. Mm-hmm. So take that for, I don't know, whatever that's worth. Neighbors tell them that they saw him over the long weekend riding a Segway and smoking a joint right in front of the neighborhood kids. I don't know which bothers me more, the joint or the Segway.
Right.
I don't know.
Smoking a joint riding a Segway. I mean, he's such a moped in a motorcycle world, isn't he?
He really is. That is the stupidest sounding visual. Like, moped. You're riding around on a Segway, and you got a joint.
Right.
A fat blunt.
He's a moped trying to pretend he's a motorcycle is what he is.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Multiple neighbors in the exclusive gated Calabasas community. Calabasas? Yeah. Say Bieber and his friends have turned the neighborhood upside down. We're told they called cops twice in the last 5 days over excruciatingly loud music coming from Bieber's house, where parties were going full bore until 3 a.m.
Probably just excruciating music. Who cares if it's loud or not?
Probably. It's probably real bad. Right. It's all Lil Wayne or something. Neighbors tell us Justin has been a real problem in his Ferrari and his motorcycle, aside from the incident Monday where he allegedly was roaring through the neighborhood. We're told Justin frequently drives recklessly. Residents say Justin almost struck a neighbor pulling into his driveway on Sunday. As for the Segway incident, neighbors say on Sunday, Justin was riding side by side with a buddy who was also smoking a joint on his Segway. So two Segways, side by side, chip style,
right.
Smoking pot.
They're punch and chong is basically what they're
punch and chong. That's a good mashup. Oh, my gosh. I love that. All right. Well, good news, everyone. Mumblebox is sponsoring today's program. 7-day free trial. Go check them out. You don't have to just jump right in and pay for it. If you want to try it first, you can. 7 full days, absolutely free. Get a custom host name. Get redundant servers. And when you're ready to pay, 20% off with the code TMS. That's at mumbleboxes.com. Let's take a break. When we come back, Nicole will be here for Recommendals, Tom Merritt for Tom's Tech Time, and a bunch more. Before that, a little tune.
How about a song? This one.
All right.
going out to our friend Gareth across the pond, who says, "Dear Stannis and Baratheon, I hope that you're both well. I know this may be a little late, but I would love to have a song played on the show in celebration of my 28th orbit around the sun on the 29th of May. If you could see fit to play Laszlo Bane's cover of Love Will Keep Us Together, it would make me very happy indeed. Love the show, though, and greetings from the UK, Gareth Williams, London." Well, of course, Gareth. Happy birthday to you, by the way. And Laszlo Bane, for those of you who don't recognize the name immediately, he's the guy who did the theme song for Scrubs.
Oh.
That, I can't make it all on my own.
No, Superman, that one.
That's the one.
That one's a sad song. It's like the Friends song. No one can ever hear those songs without thinking of the shows they're on.
Totally, yeah. And he did a whole album called Guilty Pleasures, and on there he included this cover of Captain and Tennille's Love Will Keep Us Together way back in 2007. So here you go. Laszlo Bane, who I'm guessing must have some Hungarian in him because that's a Hungarian name. Laszlo Bane and Love Will Keep Us Together.
All right. Stay tuned. Nicole will be here right after this.
Wrong song.
We have him backwards.
Did I? Right, I didn't tell you.
You did, but that's okay. I'll change it. Okay. Here we go.
Love will keep us together. Think of me, baby, whenever some sweet talking guy comes along singing his song. Don't mess around, cause you've gotta be strong. Stop, cause I really love you. Stop, I've been thinking of you. Look in my heart and let love keep us together.
Into Fun Pals and Underoos underwear, you can pretend to change into a hero.
Mask or illusion is the ultimate weapon. By the power of Grayskull, He-Man is here.
Imagine you can change into all your favorite heroes from Superman to Thundercats with Fun Pals and Underoos underwear.
More than meets the eye. The Transformers.
With Fun Pals and Underoos, you can change into a hero.
Freddy, what are you doing up there?
Oh.
I think my earbuds touched your Frankfurter. This is the Morning Stream.
Well, I hope not. Mm-hmm. As you can see, some progress here.
Yes, I see a water, a giant water heater.
Yeah, it's a beast.
It's a short, stubby one as opposed to a taller one.
Yeah, see, I'm going to... Here. Okay, so I'm 6'3".
Yeah.
So that would put that at about 5... That's about as tall as my brother, Matt. It's about as tall as my Korean brother. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for holding on during the song and enjoying that with us. That was a great little rendition of Hoo-Ha there.
Yeah. Yes.
We're going to call Nicole now and make this happen the way it was meant to happen.
All right.
Which is to say, she'll be on the air with us, and I can't find her theme. There it is.
I'll do it for you.
There it is. Are you going to sing it for us? A little hooray for Hollywood? That'd be great. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Nicole Spag here every Wednesday talking about recommendations she finds on streaming services in and around the internet and in these United States. Nicole, welcome back.
Hello. How are you guys?
Hello.
Hello.
So your husband sent a haunting photo of you in front of a computer, and I can only assume you were playing like Fallout New Vegas.
That's exactly what I was doing. I cannot stop. I just want to finish it.
It's almost impossible, though. Like, you got to avoid all of the side quests, right? And just straight line
that
story.
Oh, no, I'm doing it all.
Are you?
Oh, really? Wow.
I'm impressed.
That's why I'm just like,
No, I'm impressed because that's no small feat is to tear through that like that. That's pretty amazing.
That's awesome. I think I'm almost done.
All right. Well, you've had time probably in between bouts of that to watch something here or there.
When I feel guilty and Mark says, hey, let's watch a movie, I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I can pull myself away from New Vegas for a little while.
Gotta have your homework for Wednesdays on TMS, so that's fine with us. So what's up this week? What have you seen? Where are we at?
All right, so the first film I have for you is a 2011 film starring Jason Segel and Ed Helms, and it's called Jeff, Who Lives at Home.
Okay, I heard about this. Never saw it.
This is great.
Okay, the film starts out, it tells you exactly what it's going to be, and I didn't realize that till the end, and I love it. This is one of those hidden gem films that you're watching it going, I don't know if I'm going to like this film. And by the end of it, you do.
Really?
So
yeah.
Least I did. Jason Segel he lives in his mom's basement. He smokes a lot of pot. He has a brother who's played by Ed Helms. He works at a potted plant store or something like that. And it's kind of this... It's a sort of slice of life film. Susan Sarandon is the mother. Ray Dong Chong, who I have not seen in years in a film, is in this.
I don't think I've seen her since Commando.
Yeah, exactly.
Been a while.
I think it was Color Purple, maybe. When the
was she in that? I didn't know she was
in
it.
Yeah, she was. Oh. She was Harpo's new girlfriend. So Oprah was Harpo's wife, and then... Harpo got a girlfriend, and that was Ray Dong Chong.
Right. No, you're right. That's totally her. I forgot she was in that. I love that movie. I just watched that sometime.
That's not streaming, but I was going to recommend it if it did.
It's got the Whoopi Goldberg when she had eyebrows still.
Yeah.
Check that out. Anyway.
Wow.
So he lives at home smoking pot.
Did you see this film, Brian?
I did. Yeah, I really liked it. I don't know. I like the vibe of it even from the get-go because it's a very... Yeah, what's the Cedar Rapids? Like
Totally Cedar Rapids, yes.
Yeah,
it's a dark
a vibe to it.
It's not a comedy, but there are funny moments, but it's very dark at times. It made me at the end, I was like, oh wow, that was just unexpected. I don't know. I don't know how to want to ruin it because it's really worth a watch.
Okay.
So.
It's a little indie thing, right? It looks like they just sort of worked together and made a thing and that's interesting to me. I always like that kind of stuff.
I think Jason Segel in a dramatic role kind of threw me off at first.
Yeah.
But he was really wonderful. And Ed Helms was wonderful. And his wife, Judy Greer, who I normally hate. I liked her in this. So,
right, really? So not normally a Judy Greer fan, but...
Not a Judy Greer fan. She always plays that bitchy role.
Yeah,
and
she does.
It kind of rubbed off on her.
Yeah, I guess so. Kind of stuck with her. She's been
especially
a little bit
when you talk about the Arrested Development stuff too, because she was hilarious in that.
Yeah, and by the way, Ed Helms' little cameo in the plays a terrible real estate salesman. Yeah, it's all during the pre-collapse of the housing market and all that. He's pretty good. He shows up again in, I want to say this last one, episode 5 again, and it's pretty good. It's a pretty good little thing. Also, who else shows up in that? It was from The Office. John Krasinski shows up.
Oh, really? Haven't gotten to him yet, but yeah. I did notice that everybody from Outsourced from the NBC short-lived.
That's weird. It's almost like they had them on retainer or something. They were just all sitting around. The cab driver, the dude at the hotel.
Right.
Who I love, that guy at the hotel. I don't even know his name, but man, he's
funny. Get out. Yeah. I'm sorry to yell at you, ma'am.
He's so good. Does he do stand-up or something? Or
I don't know, but he is really
I want
funny.
More of that guy in my life. Anyway, sorry, Nicole. That sounds like a fine film. Let's all go see it.
Yeah, it's great. Great film. All right. I'm enjoying Arrested Development, too, by the way.
How far are you in?
Episode 2.
Oh,
okay.
I'm going for the more what it would be like if it was on network television. So I'm trying to like space it out.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't want to just sit and just dump them all into my head.
Well, that's how you fit more of your freaking New Vegas in there that way, right?
Well, and plus it's summertime, so there's not going to really.
Sorry.
The plumber's on camera.
Yeah.
Does he have a plumber's crack?
Not that I've seen.
No, he's the sweatshirt's coming down too low to see if there's any plumber crack.
But yeah, it's you're not wrong to want to do it that way. That's kind of how we're watching it 2 and 3 at a time, but we're still sort of pacing ourselves. But if you're liking it so far, you're really going to like it in the next few because it just gets better and better.
I was reading an article on how well it's doing, and it's a really good thing. So
it's a little odd, though. It's a little bit weird that, like, okay, so we were talking about Mary Lynn Raskup or whatever her name is that was in the. She's only in episode 2, so I don't think you've seen her yet. But I wanted to go see what her credits look like and stuff. I'm on IMDb, and normally when someone's working in a movie or a new TV show, even if that thing hasn't aired or isn't going to air for years, their name will show up and there's no credit in here for Arrested Development at all. So I don't know if that's a weird, like a, it's just a streaming. Well, maybe it's a streaming only. They don't do any kind of previews.
Maybe there's some, some connection that it doesn't have with the Arrested Development. Because what is, like any of the other actors in there, Bateman or.
I'm trying to
take
see.
Take a look at Jason Bateman.
Yeah,
because
Bateman will
up.
Be in there for the old ones. I just don't know if they're doing that new stuff yet. That's a really good question. But
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's called Announced. It's under here as Arrested Development Announced for 2013.
Oh, weird.
But there's Horrible Bosses 2 in pre-production.
Yeah. This is where I leave you. Bad words.
Right.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Weird. Hmm. Okay. Oh, and there it is. Arrested Development, they have through 2013 now on his current Arrested Development credit. But
so they're just gonna bring it back in?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Who knows? IMDb is such a freaking chaos ball.
What are we paying you for, IMDb?
Yeah, right. What are we giving you all our money for?
Exactly.
All right. So big number 2. What do you got?
All right. So my next 2 picks are kind of from this film, Jeff Who Lives at Home. So Susan Sarandon, like I said, plays the mother in Jeff Who Lives at Home, and I decided to start looking at her kind of biography of work. And honestly, my favorite is Rocky Horror Picture Show, but that's not streaming. But a little unknown film of hers is streaming on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch this for free. Mm. It's the 1983 film called The Hunger, starring David Bowie. And he plays a vampire. And there's another Catherine, I don't know how to pronounce
Deneuve,
her name. But
Catherine Deneuve.
Have you seen this film, Brian?
I have not. No, I saw Cat People, which I always get The Hunger and Cat People confused because
they're different. I don't like.
Yeah,
well,
it's very different. But doesn't Cat People have David Bowie in it as well, or is that why I'm getting confused? Okay.
Yeah, David Bowie's not in Cat People.
May as well have been.
But it's this.
He really should have. You know what I mean?
It's a vampire movie.
Yeah.
And it's a weird vampire movie, and the main character is this very sensual vampire, and she goes out and finds her lover, and it's just, watch it. It's weird, and Susan Sarandon plays a love interest, and she's a very risque actress. I mean, especially go back to some of her earlier stuff.
Oh yeah, she had no problem doing the business. She, by the way, if you want to see her in something real good, The Client. She's really good in The Client.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I know The Client's pretty mainstream and all that with the late Brad Renfro and the still living Tommy Lee Jones. But she's quite good in that. And it's easy sometimes to think that she's just some kind of crazy activist and her husband and her are just a little bit nutty and all that. Mm-hmm. But she's got talent. She's really good.
Ex-husband. Aren't they split up, her and Tim Robbins?
I thought they were. Are they? Really? I thought they were forever together. No?
No, I think they split up.
Okay. Well, damn her.
Nicole might know.
Yeah, Nicole, you spend a lot of time worrying about those two people. How are they doing?
Who am I worrying about?
Susan Sarandon and her boyfriend.
I think they did break up.
Didn't they?
I think you're right.
They did. You crawled through miles of this water and shit and came out clean on the other side.
That was a few years ago, I thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
He went through years of Susan Sarandon and came out clean on the other side. There you go.
They were together for 23 years. They split in 2009.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while then.
Totally.
Oh, who's hippie and do they still go to these? Do they still go and like do freaky things at events and things together? Or they're just not
separately.
What are they doing? Go separately? Like, okay. Standing on the red carpet and taking a dump, freaky. I don't know.
Something like that. I don't know.
Do freaky stuff.
All right. Well, that gives us Susan Sarandon, the film number one.
Is a dark. It's very goth like vampire movie. I thought it was cool. All right, and then finally, what's that?
I'm going to add that to the list because I haven't seen it. Yeah.
Well, Amazon Prime. It's not on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Pay your Prime bill, Brian. Come on. Get on that.
$79 a year, free shipping.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. No, I've got it. I love it.
Yeah.
And then finally, I know I've recommended this before, but because I had the revelation that Judy Greer was the voice of Cheryl, I'm recommending Archer because it's my favorite show. It really is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Archer, this is a cartoon. What kind of animation is this? Because it's unlike anything I've really seen.
Well, they use Flash is what they
use. Right. It's vector based as opposed to, I mean, I think, yeah, it's a really interesting style.
A lot of shows now use, like the new My Pretty Pony or whatever the heck it's called, everyone's all into the bronies.
My Little Pony.
Or My Little Pony.
Magic.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for that. That's all Flash now. South Park is all Flash. But yeah, Flash is used way commonly now in like mainstream television animation, which is fine. Not all of them do it, but some of them do it. And that particular style that those guys use, what's the name of that production company? Anyway, they've started with like Space Ghost and they've done everything since, and they're all involved in Archer. But they've always used that kind of very stiff, stilted, you know, they're not really, it's not very animated. Mm-hmm. It's just enough.
Right. Certain, like arms will move and legs will move.
Eyebrows.
They'll rotate as opposed to, you know, changing shape.
Right. So
it's interesting because I can actually watch Archer on my iPad.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
The Flash.
Oh, I get it. they're authoring obviously in Flash, not necessarily the other way. But what's interesting about it is it is the goal, I think, has always been to mimic the look of the really crappy late 60s, early 70s and 80s animation like Super Friends and, you know, Birdman and all that. I think that that's what they're going for. And I feel like it's just perfect for the humor. It's just they nail it on that show. It's so good.
Remember the first episode I watched? I was like, this is weird. And then the dialogue and the comedy just pulled me in, and I've been a fan ever since. Like Netflix had, you know how they recommend to you, they're like, we think you're going to like this so much, you're going to give it 5 stars. I'm like, really? You think I'm going to give this 5 stars? And I thought it was a live action because I saw an article that they base every one of these characters after a real person.
Oh, really?
And they do a side-by-side comparison.
But John, what's his name?
Benjamin.
There you go. Coach McGurk. He doesn't, he looks nothing like that dude. So who are they basing him on?
They have stand-in models. So like, for instance, the voice of Krieger is actually the voice actor Lucky Yates. So there's a guy by the name of Lucky Yates, and they used his face for Krieger. or no, not Krieger, but the not, he voices Krieger, and his face is used on the character that went paralyzed from the waist down, the gay character.
Oh,
I can't remember his name. Oh no,
not Cyril, not Chris Parnell's character.
Yeah, that's not Chris Parnell's character.
Not Ray. Is it Ray Gillette?
Ray.
Is it Ray? Yeah, Ray.
Yeah, it is Ray. Yep. So that was in one case where they actually did use a voice actor's face, but for the most part, every one of the actors they hire just body. I don't want to say body doubles, but yeah, kind of body doubles to base their animation off of.
And Man of Irony and the Tadpole just posted a link to where you can see side by side the real models.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Wait. Where's this link? Who did it?
Vulture.
Man of Irony just posted it.
Okay, I'm trying to find it. I don't see it. It is. I'm getting it late for some reason. All right, there it is. I just want to see this real quick. Oh, wow, weird. Uh-huh. Oh, weird, dude. That's really cool.
That's funny.
I had no idea. This is news to me. That's very, very cool. All right.
It's a great show. Again, if you haven't watched it already, you're probably annoyed by people going, oh, my God, Archer's the best ever. Just give it a chance.
I'm surprised that they didn't use Aisha Tyler for Lana Kane. That's funny because it.
I was doing the same thing. Yeah.
She does look just like her, but I guess she was too busy.
Well, and even the mom. It kind of
makes me think
of her, but they used another actress for that.
They could have totally used her, though. Man, she's the spitting image of that.
But anyway, I did not realize that Cheryl was voiced by Judy Greer.
Oh, really?
I had no idea, and she's one of my favorite parts of the show. She's so weird.
Yeah, I love Judy Greer. I'm a huge fan. And I was telling Kim and the kids last night, I don't know what it is about her on Arrested Development. She's crazy on that show. But I have an unnatural attraction to that woman. I don't know what my deal is. I think she is really attractive. Isn't that weird?
What was the movie she was in?
13 going on 30. Remember that?
She was in that?
Yeah, she was the mean friend.
Is that the
She always
Jennifer
plays the
Garner
mean
one?
Friend.
Yeah,
friend.
She does quite a bit. She's in a bunch of stuff.
There was a scary movie. It was like The House on Haunted Hill or something like that where I'm thinking of her.
She's in a video short in 2012 called Republicans Get in My Vagina. That's something.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of somebody else.
She was on Mad Love a bunch. She was on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. She's in tons of stuff. But I just find her really attractive. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you know, I'm getting her confused with someone else.
27 Dresses, she was in that.
Probably his bitchy friend.
Yeah, probably bitchy friend. she was not on the West Wing, everyone. Not on the West Wing, but she was on that Sunset Strip thing that didn't last very long. Anyway, Kitty Sanchez forever. That's the important part. All right, fine recommendations today. Everybody rush out to your local theater and catch these. They're in theaters now. Just kidding. They're on all these streaming services. Nicole, anything else going on? Ladies Elite this week?
Yes, we're going to. I was going to go to the Phoenix Comic Con, but then
I
didn't go.
Oh, New Vegas called your name.
And no, sleep was calling my name. Mateo's sick again, so just having a rough go of it, man.
This is what happens. You start having those. This is when they start building their immune system, and you have to just, it's the worst. I remember this with the kids. But then I can tell you this with some assurity. When they get to be 10 and older, which my kids all are now, they never get sick. And when they do, it's super, super freaking rare. So keep them in the mud, throw them in the dirt. Let them crawl around Walmart floors and stuff like that. It'll speed up the process. It'll build their immunity.
Yeah. He's licking on everything. God. Yeah. So awful.
That is gross when they do that.
It's so gross. All right.
Well, Nicole, have a good one. Nicole Spag on Twitter, everybody. Follow her there. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
All right. I'm going to call Tom.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to call Tom.
Tom. You know what? When you talk to him, I'll talk to him too.
That was a phone number. Hold on a sec. I think I may have just called his phone. Oh, phew. I think we're okay now.
Does he answer it as well?
He might. I don't know.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Hey, everyone. It's Tom Merritt, and he is here to talk about... Oh, I have your other thing. How do I get this all of a sudden? I don't know. It's illegal.
This!
Those are net cash you love from people you trust. I'm not allowed to play that stuff. I don't think I am anyway. Tom Merritt, everybody. It's Tom. How's it going, man?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
I've never been better. Well,
no, really? I'm sorry to hear that.
All right, maybe I'm making that up, but it's always good to have Tom on. He comes on Wednesdays, talks about technology and stories that are sort of brewing for tech news today. And
coffee.
I'm very interested in what is the hot business today, given that, you know, last week's Xbox stuff and Google I/O the week before that. I mean, there have been some big tech moments in the last couple of weeks, but I look at this week and I just think, well, what the hell's going on?
Well, Dive Into Media conference is happening. So Tim Cook, Apple CEO, sat down for an hour yesterday and chatted, virtually saying nothing.
Is it Walt Mossberg again?
But causing like 15 headlines.
Ah.
Nice.
Yeah, but it was with Mossberg, right?
Says virtually nothing about Apple television. Tim Cook says wearable computing. Interesting.
Really?
Do you feel like he is... He's a lot more. I feel like he's a lot more keep stuff under the sleeve than even Jobs was when you would get these when Mossberg or somebody would sit down with him. Do you feel like that's true with him?
It's funny. I feel that too, but I actually think when you look at what he says, he actually says more than Steve Jobs. Jobs is just brilliant at saying things that sound really interesting without saying anything.
Mm.
Whereas Tim Cook, he says things that are interesting, and you're like, oh, whatever. I mean, he's just not that charismatic.
And no big hints like anything about WWDC and what we might hear or anything about their strategy for...
Solid thing that he did say is he confirmed Johnny Ive has been working on iOS and OS 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
To revamp the style. So I know you're going to miss that reel-to-reel in the podcast.
No more... Yeah.
So much space, so little functionality.
Yeah. No, that's too. No more of that skeuomorphism. I wonder what this means for, as much as we're all curious about what updates are coming to the phone, I feel like that's a foregone conclusion that big revamp is coming. But I'm more curious at this point what OS 10 might look like with his hands in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious what they do there. I feel like it's probably going to be less dramatic since OS 10 seems to be working well. Nobody's really complaining about it. And we haven't heard a lot of buzz that it's going to change dramatically in look and feel, but it might. It might be. We just don't know. Mm. iOS, everybody's like, yeah, it's time. That OS is what, 6 years old at this point?
Yeah.
So, about time somebody gave it a change. And all the rumors are it's going to be flatter, less colorful, more sleek, mm-hmm. et cetera. But that was the thing. As Tim Cook said, you will see the new design changes at WWDC. He also hinted that he would give third-party developers more access to the iOS API. That may just sound like a garble of acronyms to most people, but it's the kind of thing that Android has that iOS doesn't, that allows background processes, that allows things like Facebook Home, whether you like it or not, to be possible, where you cannot do that on iOS.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or take better control of functionality like I know some of this has changed here recently, but some of the functionality like, well, I really like Google Maps and I would really like it when I click a link in there if that opened in Chrome because I prefer that over Safari. You know, like some of that backgroundy non-system level stuff would be really nice if they open that up.
A lot of the things that you can do on your computer that you're like, why can't I do that on my iOS phone? I can do it on my Android phone. That's the kind of stuff that would get you.
Yeah, it seems like they would want to address some of that. So here's my big prediction. I predict this one small thing. I think that the way the sandboxing has worked out has been a negative effect on the desktop side. And it's had the effect of blocking some developers from doing things that were really useful for users and made the system a more locked down experience. Brian and I know of one in very particular.
Yeah, like you're speaking to the, preaching
here,
the choir.
Yeah, here we are doing this show via freaking Snow Leopard because I have no choice.
Right.
But also the App Store and the way that's worked and the pressure that the developers feel to make sure it's in there and then them having to adhere to these standards that make their software less useful. I feel like there's going to be some backstepping on that. Or at least part of this is hopefulness on my part, but I feel like there's got to be, by making this more restrictive, I think that they have taken a lot of heat from developers. This is a developers conference. This is a great place to come out and say, maybe they don't say we've made some mistakes, but we've basically made some mistakes with that. We're going to backtrack a little bit. We're going to give you more access to system level stuff, and we're not going to make this so closed and so hard to get. No, wait.
Are you talking about OS 10 or iOS? Because your wiretap thing is an OS 10 restriction.
Yeah, it's an OS 10 thing I'm talking about. Desktop is what I'm. It was where I'm as excited as I am about iOS.
There aren't more restrictions on the OS 10 API than there have been.
Well,
as far as I'm aware,
there are with the sandboxing stuff has busted a number of apps, not just the ones we use, but like Wiretap Anywhere.
I see
example.
What you're talking about.
So that kind of stuff when Lion,
but that's a security thing. They're not going to backtrack on that.
Well, some of it is, and some of it isn't. Like some of it is just simply we don't want you to have we've built the OS in such a way now that you can't control where sound's being routed, for example. That's mm-hmm. no longer a thing you get to do.
Right.
Yeah. And yes, that does drill down to a very particular problem I'm having and a handful of people are having. But also just this idea that people feel so much pressure to get on the App Store, where it used to be, okay, well, now you give me this cool App Store on OS X, where it's a nice curated experience and everything in there is really good and tested and everything. But what if I was already a user of Transit, for example, for FTP? Well, if I want it on the App Store, I got to go buy it again. Otherwise, I have lifetime upgrades on their website. Right. Now, for me, no big deal. I just do what I want to do. But it's just such a – it just creates this fragment of, well, there's some people you have to go to their sites to get their app. Some of it's on the App Store. Some people don't know the difference, so that all they ever get is App Store stuff. You can't upgrade easily. The upgrade paths are kind of broken there, so people are spending more money. I just feel like the whole model just needs to be massaged a little. You know?
Yeah, you're not the first person I've heard complain about the App Store. On the other hand, I haven't, and maybe I'm just out of the loop, I haven't heard that many complaints about access to the internal APIs. I mean, Audio Hijack does just fine in the most current versions of OS X. So I'm not sure what's causing all of that. Mm-hmm. The biggest outcry is usually about having to move to the App Store, but what seems to be happening is everybody's moving to the App Store. So remember, what Tim Cook said is we're thinking about loosening up access to the APIs in iOS, not OS X.
Not into OS X. Oh, that's
iOS. Yeah, because in iOS, you have almost none.
Yeah.
And the sandboxing thing isn't necessarily about not letting, you know, like Audio Hijack works well because it lets stuff get into it. It just doesn't let stuff get out. And that was the big thing with Wiretap is once you get into that sandbox, you can't pipe that audio out to Skype or out to Flash Media Encoder or things like that. It's a lockdown distribution system for the stuff coming into the app and then going out.
It will be interesting too to see if they try to apply whatever the design aesthetic is going into iOS into OS X, or if they're going to stop trying to make those two things so, you know, like this. What's that thing called? The launcher? I can't even find it. Where is it?
Oh, Launchpad or...
I don't use it.
Yeah. Mission Control.
And Launchpad.
That no one uses, ever.
I don't use them. I,
no, they sit there on the left side of my dock just saying... Are you gonna ever click on us? We're here.
My laptop when I accidentally make a gesture that I didn't know I made.
Right. You're like, oh, what is this business here?
I get all my damn windows all over the place.
And so I don't know if they scale any of that back or if they just, you know, I don't know what they do, but it seems like an exciting year to find out what their next moves are in both of those arenas. Now, so that'll be fun.
Has Jonathan Ive ever done anything? Do we have any other examples of software things he's done? Or has up to this point, has it only been hardware design?
No, there are examples of software and none of them are popping to mind. But yeah, he is most famous for designing the hardware. So it will be interesting to see, given a big palette, a big canvas to work on, what he comes up with software-wise.
Yeah, what if it's all just a click wheel?
There is going to be one icon.
Right.
Brilliant. Finally, we've figured it out. All right. Well,
I'm still like, now I want to dive in more and figure out, like, what is Audio Hijack doing that Wiretap can't do?
Yeah.
I'm just, my brain totally went distracted on that because Audio Hijack has no problems.
Yeah.
Right. No, and I still used Audio Hijack. Well, I was for a while. I switched over to Line In, but it's a matter of getting Audio Hijack out. So I want to combine the audio from iTunes with my microphone with Soundboard
Skype, let's say,
and then send it out to Skype. Or then I want to have my Skype audio come in and go to.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that, Brian.
Oh, well, thank you, Apple. I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me know.
I'm a zookeeper.
Well, anyway, we'll see how things go. And I think Ambrosia software is part of the problem, too.
Buy another Apple product.
Absolutely. Right. Go buy something else. That'll help you do it.
Buy a second computer. to send. To.
Yes, ugh. Which is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, I don't like that idea. I don't want to go back to that. All right, well, we'll see how things pan out. But for sure, today you can listen to Tech News Today and listen to all this great stuff about Apple and more. Each and every day right there on Twit, Monday through Friday. What else? Anything else going on? I know FSL is about to explode.
Oh, yeah. The preview episode will be happening on Saturday, June 1st. So if you haven't subscribed to FSL Tonight, or if you've let your subscription lapse, I don't know how that, but go to FSLtonight.com and get all set up. There's a ton of stuff going on in the fan community, too. We've got the latest lines, the betting is there. We've got a bunch of people creating their own regional broadcasts, like for San Francisco, covering the San Francisco Federation, playing their first season in the FSL. Yeah, so Justin and I are pretty darn excited for this season, I have to say.
T-shirts up at /loot.com. Don't forget that. You can go check those out. We'll also simul-post this preview episode this weekend on the Frogpants Ultra feed. So if you're listening to that, you'll catch it there as well. Good stuff all around. Can't wait. Can't wait to see you guys at Nerdtacular. Too much going on in the next month to even cover.
Paraphernalia at Nerdtacular. And the All-Star Game episode will be recorded at Nerdtacular.
Woo! That's cool. I've somehow sexual for me. I don't know why. Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. TomMerritt.com. Everything else. Go find him. Follow him. He's good people, that Tom Merritt. And we'll see you next time. Bye. Scared him there at the end, I think.
I guess so, yeah.
I think his mic gets
cut. He's all choked up.
He has one of those Skypey moments where his mic gets cut out by anything we say. I hate that about Skype sometimes.
Yeah, I do too.
All right. Judy Greer, you're a hottie. Let me move that over here.
Okay. You got photos of Judy Greer up on your
screen? I have her IMDb up, and I don't know what it is about her. Something.
Yeah.
Something about her. Oh, boy. Anyway, what am I doing?
Wow.
Podcast. If you want to know the... So we always talk about actresses that I think are weird looking or, you know, look like birds or whatever.
She doesn't look like a bird to you.
She doesn't. She's way my style. I don't know what it is. It's not just redhead. It's something about her. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily a redhead guy. Let's do with this the rest of the show what we do with it, which is to read one email.
Okay.
And then blow out of here like the wind. So here's your one email. It's the one chance, all right? Let's see. Can't find it. Here it is. Hey, Sauron and Balrog, says Adam in Penn Island, Florida, which if you put together says Penis Land, Florida.
Penn Island, I love it.
I wanted to add a quick note about spoilers and how they do change your view of the film. So we talked about spoilers yesterday and Corinne's assertion that they actually enhance your viewing of a film. He disagrees. I took a date to go see Dumb and Dumber when it came out in movie theaters. This would have been like 97 or 8 or something. Mm-hmm. The day before, one of my friends decided to try and spoil the ending by telling me he gets the girl in the end. So at the beginning of the movie, Lloyd Christmas introduces himself to Mary Swanson, I instantly made the connection that they would end up together and her name would be Mary Christmas. No one I know has ever made that connection because of at the beginning of the movie, you never expect that he would have a chance with her, even though you have spoiled the identity of Flippy Nick Island's Hatch before I could see the movie. I think he means
Bumbersnatch,
Flubber Nuts.
Yeah.
I still love the show, though, Adam in Penis Land, Florida. So, I kind of get what he's saying, but he didn't end up with her, though. Was that the point?
Right. Yeah, he didn't. That's what he's saying. Somebody tried to try and spoil the movie by saying he gets the girl in the end, but he doesn't.
But that's not spoiling it. That's just being a jerk and telling you the wrong ending. Like, if he would have told him the right ending.
What's funny is that Dumb and Dumber, I mean, talk about a movie you just... What would you spoil about that? You know, I mean, it's
well,
what
let me
a
tell
twist.
You, what the most annoying sound in the world is? Do you want to know? Yeah, I don't know. Danny Aiello is bugged by those two guys. There's your spoiler.
Right.
Of that movie.
He has a heart condition that's triggered by eating Red Hots.
Guy from that show on HBO, the news show. What's it called? What's he in? What's that show? Gosh, dang it. The network.
Newsroom.
No, the newsroom. The guy from Newsroom has diarrhea real bad while he's in Colorado. Spoiled. Spoiler. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for that email. You can send your emails to us and we'll read them here and there. And especially on Mondays, you can send those to themorningstream@gmail.com. I want to thank Alpha Geek Radio for the Shoutcast stream today. Scott Fletcher for our voice work. Our t-shirt can be found at /loot.com. By the way, many of you may have noticed, and I know I've got a lot of feedback that you did. that the show downloads were extremely fast yesterday.
Oh, good.
That should be good moving forward. And please, if anyone's out there having any trouble, just let me know. But I think we may
Justin TV stops working for you. internet speeds up. Download speed up.
Hey, I forgot. I probably point the camera at me now. Let's see. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. At Facebook, you can find us at /TheMorningStream. On Twitter, we're at MorningStream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tallywhack it here?
Let's tallywhack it.
Is she around, I hope?
Yes, I saw her in the tadpole earlier.
That makes me glad and happy.
Yes.
Let's get her in here. I have her new theme to play. She hasn't heard it yet, I don't think.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah, so here's the new one. Here's the new theme for Cleo, everybody. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
There you go. Cleo, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys this morning?
I'm fine.
You're good.
You doing all right? How's it going over there?
I'm doing good. Girlfriend is home. She's doing well. We are heading down the fast road to brain surgery, but we're doing great so far. So we'll take it.
I don't like that road at all.
No, it's good. It's a good thing. So we're doing okay.
Okay, good.
Good stuff.
That makes me happy to hear at least that it's a good thing in the end. Cleo, let's count it up. How'd everyone do? Let's have a score. I like scores. They mean a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. I like to score too.
Let's score.
Okay.
With Cleo.
Anyway, hey now, new segment on N13.
Right. Oh, by the way, I wanted to give credit. Christopher made that intro. I forgot to give him credit the other day, so it's Christopher who made that. Sorry.
Thank you, Christopher. Yes. All right. El Bacho won the obvious points today by describing how to play craps. He says you throw the bad numbers, and as the guy takes your money, you yell, crap!
It's about right.
It's pretty good.
Yes. When we were talking about dead animals and nerd hoarding today, Scully won the points because she said a nerd hoarder combines the two by hiding all the dead LOL cats under a stack of PDFs.
Oh, lovely.
Good.
Very good.
And all the yearbook points today go to Bearska for saying Masturbates and Sneaky Nuts is a Simon and Garfunkel cover band. Good one.
All right.
The big winner for today is our very own Tom Merritt, Ace Detect, who came up with the Ding Pong water heater points by saying that the camera removes 10 inches.
Ah, very nice. Well done, Ace Detect.
Nice. Very good.
That's why they call him that. Cleo,
that's
good.
My own nosy points for the day.
Good work as always. Keep us informed on this horrible road to brain surgery, but we'll check in with you again tomorrow.
All right, guys. Bye. Take it easy.
See you, Cleo.
See ya. All right, Brian.
Very good.
Let's go.
Okay.
Do you want to play us something just to hear, I guess, like a song or some business?
If I must. And as a quick reminder, you can send in your requests at tmsrequests@coverville.com. And also, if you like the songs you're hearing on the show, we encourage you to buy them by going to TMS and then the day of the week and then the number, one or two, depending on if it's the first song or the second song. So, for example, if you like that Laszlo Bane cover of Love Will Keep Us Together, then you would go to tinyurl.com/TMS Wednesday 1.
Oh, got it. Wednesday, like the whole word Wednesday.
The whole word Wednesday and then the number one.
Okay.
And for this song, you would do TMS Wednesday 2.
Yeah, I love it.
Easy. It really is easy.
Yeah, it seems so easy. Even an idiot could do it.
This is outrageous!
All right, good.
Next week, the Monday will replace the last Monday, of course. Well, if there was a last Monday, it wasn't a last Monday. all right, so.
Now I'm really confused. Go ahead.
Never mind. Yeah. Those links, what I'm saying is those links only work for a week.
Sure. Got it.
All right. Jeff Sire, who we affectionately know in the Tadpool as Bronco and at Nerdtacular, many, many years of attending Nerdtacular on his motorcycle, right?
Yeah, 2008 and forward. He's never missed it.
Yes. He says, Brian, my son Connor turns 22 on the 29th of May. Those years have flown by. In the last few years, our relationship has begun to change as he has become an adult. Personally, I think the next 22 years will be even better. I'm so proud of the man he's become. When he was born, I had no idea how to be a father, and I think I've probably learned more from him than the other way around. I've been thinking about requesting a song for his birthday, but I couldn't decide on anything. I'm sure you can see this time coming with yourself and Tristan, so I will leave it to you to pick an appropriate song. Connor will be coming with me to Nerdtacular this year, and I'm very excited to introduce him to all the great friends I've made over the years in the Frog Pants community. We will see you all there, signed, Jeff Sire.
Nice.
Very good.
Lovely.
Yeah, so this, you know, the thinking about the songs like, you know, the passing on your knowledge and the dad kind of songs. You can think of Cats in the Cradle, which is a really depressing song about that sort of thing. Or you can go with a Cat Stevens song called Father and Son, which has been covered by a few different people, including Fiona Apple and Johnny Cash do a good version of it. Ronan Keating and Yusuf Islam do a sort of recover of it because Yusuf is Cat Stevens. Mm-hmm. But I'm going with a different version by a group called The Enemy. They recorded this for Radio 1, BBC Radio 1, for an album called Established 1967, basically celebrated the 40-year anniversary of BBC Radio 1 and was released in 2007. Here is The Enemy, and enjoy the lyrics on this one, folks, especially if you're a parent. It's a great, great song. Here's The Enemy and their cover of Father and Son.
Fantastic. Tomorrow, brand new show. Should have Wendy here. Should have all that good stuff going on with Therapy Thursday, regular stuff, blah, blah, blah. It's getting toward the end of the week. If you guys want to hang out with us in the meantime, make sure you use our forums, by the way. Forums are great. They can be linked over there at our website, frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, thanks for a fantastic Wednesday.
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
This is to all the fathers and sons out there. Yes. We'll talk to you next time.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How could I try to I'm not afraid to
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Pulsar, the ultimate man of adventure.